Amen. 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 And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope everybody is doing well on this Lord's Day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is good to have the family as one. Hopefully you're not mad because somebody's sitting close to you this morning. Hopefully you didn't have trouble out in the parking lot this morning, because we're here to worship our great God in heaven. Amen. To those of you that are visiting with us, you are truly our honored guests, and thank you for choosing to come and worship with us here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Normally we have a 8 o'clock morning worship and 11:15 worship on months that have 5 Sundays. We meet together as one body in Christ, and we love doing this because some of us haven't seen others in a while. Those of you that's tuning in by way of television, thank you also for joining us this morning for our worship service. Hopefully we can say something that will uplift you this morning. If you have a question, a prayer request, we'll be more than happy to speak with you even this morning. Let's lift up the Lord in song. Everybody stand up for those that can stand. Those that can stand, stand up for just a moment and lift the Lord up. How to reach the men of every birth. Sing it with me. For an answer, Jesus gave up. Yes. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Lift him up. Let's lift him up. Let's lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. Oh, yes. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You act like you want to sing some more. Let's lift him up. Yes. Let's lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. And I,
if I be lifted up from the earth,
will draw all men unto me. Amen, amen. I'm going to ask our Spanish minister, Brother Gabriel Guerra, to come and lead us in a word of prayer. Brother Gary, would you come, please, and share in a word of prayer with us this morning? Those of you that don't know, this is Brother Gabriel Guerra, and he's our Spanish minister.
Santo Padre.
Holy God.
Señor nuestro, Padre eterno.
Our eternal Father.
Estamos ante tu presencia.
We're in your presence.
Este grupo de hijos tuyos.
Your children.
Porque queremos hacer tu voluntad siempre.
Because we always want to do your will.
Porque te amamos.
Because we love you.
Sabemos que tú eres nuestro único Dios verdadero.
We know that you are our only God.
No tenemos a otro Dios más que a ti.
We have no other God beside you.
Yes.
Tú eres el Dios de Abraham, de Isaac, de Jacob.
You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Y eres el Dios nuestro.
You are our God.
Gracias, Señor.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Gracias por tu Hijo Jesucristo, quien murió por nosotros.
Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us.
Gracias, Padre.
Thank you, Father.
Señor, necesitamos bendiciones de parte de ti.
Father, we need blessings from you.
Tenemos bendiciones materiales.
We have blessings materially.
Bendiciones espirituales.
We have blessings spiritually.
Señor, muchos de nosotros necesitamos bendiciones siempre materiales.
Many of us need always material blessings.
Necesitamos casa, salud.
For health, for strength.
Necesitamos muchas cosas en este mundo para vivir.
We need many things in this life to live.
Necesitamos espiritualmente, Padre, necesitamos que tú nos ayudes siempre.
Spiritually, Father, we always need your help.
Que nos ayudes a crecer en el conocimiento de tu palabra.
Help us to grow in the understanding of your word.
Que nos ayudes, padres, a orar.
Help us in our prayers.
Yes. A ser fuertes.
Help us to be strong.
Que nuestra fe abunde.
That our faith may grow.
Señor, que seamos siempre tus hijos espirituales como tú lo mereces.
Help us, Father, to always love your people as you would have us to.
Ayúdanos a ayudar a los necesitados.
Help us, Father, to help those that stand in need of help.
Ayúdanos a fortalecer a los débiles. Ayúdanos a crecer todos unos con otros.
Help us, Father, that we might grow one to another.
Ayuda a nuestros ancianos de la iglesia.
Help our elders of this congregation.
Nuestros diáconos.
Help the deacons.
Nuestros maestros.
Help our teachers.
Nuestros predicadores.
Help our preachers.
Todos los miembros de la iglesia.
Help each member of the family of God.
Yes.
Hombres y mujeres.
Help the men and help the women.
Y jóvenes.
The children.
Niños.
The babies.
Yes, Lord.
Que podamos crecer todos juntos.
That we might all grow together.
Como tu pueblo, como tu iglesia, como tu familia.
As your people, as your congregation, as your church.
Bendice, Padre, esta iglesia de Fifth Ward.
Bless this congregation of Fifth Ward.
Ayúdanos a todos para que todos podamos ser, hacer crecer la iglesia en todo.
Help us, Father, that we might all help the church to grow together.
Señor, gracias.
Thank you, Father.
Ayuda en esta mañana a los visitantes que están con nosotros.
Help those who are visiting among us this morning.
Ayúdales también en sus necesidades de ellos.
Help them in the way they stand in need.
Señor, te amamos.
Father, we love you.
Gracias, Padre.
Thank you, Father.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Por Cristo Jesús, nuestro Señor.
Thank you for Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gerber. Thank you, Gerber. Amen. Amen. We have started a lesson series a few weeks ago entitled The Authorized Biography of Jesus Christ. And we felt the urgency and importance of focusing on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because we are compelled by God, number one. Because of the claims of Jesus Christ that have been highlighted in the Bible. As the Bible says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 28. The Bible tells us in John chapter 12, verse 48, that we will be judged by the words of Jesus in the last day. The Bible tells us if you believe on the Son, you have eternal life. And then if we don't obey the Son, we will not see life, but we'll see the wrath of God. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if these claims are true, if they are true, then should we not be about dedicating our lives to the teaching and obedience of Jesus Christ? And so we're taking a claim. These are not the only claims in the Bible about Jesus Christ. Jesus said many other things, and others said many other things about our Lord and Savior. And so we're investigating closely for ourselves as the Church of God, as the Church of Christ, to make sure that we are not wasting our time, to make sure that our allegiance is in the right one. Because if our allegiance is not in Jesus Christ, it's in somebody. Now, Brother Gary, my allegiance is not in anybody. Well, it's in yourself. If your allegiance is not in Jesus Christ, if it's not on another person, another teaching, then you, all your confidence is in yourself. And so we're analyzing, and we say the authorized biography because the only record, detailed record of the life of Christ is given in the Gospels of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And so we have looked at the young life of Christ, and we have corroborated and even reconciled that the geography in the Bible mentioned in the Gospel, the geography, the cities that Jesus was born in, the city that he was raised in, the place that his family escaped to. The geography is confirmed in the geography even today confirms the biography of Jesus Christ. We've also noticed in the Word of God that the names in the Bible, in the biblical record, and I know we also have, we always have skeptics, probably not a many that's in this audit, skeptics who say, well, I don't believe this is, all of this is true. Well, the names in the Bible, names like Pilate and like Herod and like Annas and like Caiaphas and like others that are mentioned in the Bible, they can be corroborated with other secular history. And so that is not it is not controversial. We see even the timeline in the New Testament, the timeline that mentions some historical dates, that they've been corroborated and reconciled. And so we take an intellectual approach as we're studying about the life of Christ, but a spiritual approach, because for those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, we know that this is not of divine origins. That means it's not of this earth. It is comes from heaven, and it is miraculous in nature, but it can be confirmed and proven even with some secular documents in our world that we live in. And so we are looking closely at the life of Christ and the stories and the details, and some of them we mentioned intimately to for those who would like to check and double check to see if the things are so that have been written about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I don't have to review all of what we've done. I want to dive right in. Last week we left off that Jesus had been baptized. He'd been baptized. And after his baptism, a voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved son." And now notice this, "in whom I'm well pleased." That's what a voice from heaven said. "This is my beloved son." And so there are those that were in that day heard that. And those that heard those words, and even then they still didn't know exactly what was going on. And so we saw also in Luke chapter 3 that Jesus begins his ministry at the age of 30 years old. Everybody stay with me this morning. 30 years old. He was on this earth from 0 to 30 years before his ministry began. And I know there even those here this morning, and some of us we do more research than others, and somebody wanna know what happened between Jesus when Jesus was 12 and 30. Where did he go? Did he go some, and there have been some speculation. Some say he went to the mountains and studied with the mystics, that he studied with John the Baptist, that he went to Japan, and we know of all this speculation, but we're not relying on speculation this morning. And so we're analyzing the Bible to see if the things can be confirmed about Jesus Christ. And so, and I would advise you to not go on the dark side looking for answers that God hadn't even given us. Because he's given us all things that pertain to life on this earth and godliness. And stop all the speculation and looking in the deep corners and relying on people who don't know what they're talking about themselves. Let's just stay with the Word of God. Listen to the book of Luke in Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. Now, this is after his baptism, after he had spent 30 years on this earth. And goes through all this preparation and all of this training. And then we get to almost the beginning of his ministry in Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. Stay with me. I know it's crowded in here, but stay focused this morning on the Word of God. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. This is Son of God. And those of you that know, upon his baptism, in bodily form, it seemed that a dove came down and landed on Jesus in form of the Holy Spirit. And so he's full of the Holy. You know what? It's wonderful that those of us that have been baptized into Jesus Christ, God gives us a gift, according to the book of Acts chapter 2, a gift. And we'll talk about that in a little bit later. But he says, full of the Holy Spirit, he returned from the Jordan. That's where he got baptized. And these names, these cities, these places, these people that are mentioned in the Bible are there for a reason. For us not to just think that God wants us to have this blind faith that cannot be proven even with the Word of God. So he was baptized in the Jordan. Remember, John the Baptist baptized in the Jordan River. So Jesus comes from the Jordan. So everything coincides. It corroborates. It reconciles. It confirms our faith. Returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. And Jesus now, for 40 days, the scripture said, being tempted by the devil. Lord have mercy, there go that devil. Boy, he just seemed like he's always showing up. Oh, you think the devil is in here this morning? Don't look around, please don't look around. Oh, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. Boy, I need to do another lesson on the devil. Well, that devil, boy, he just does not sleep. It says he to be tempted. Now, understand about tempted. The tempted, temptation, tempted, the word in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the word bahan or nasa, the term means examining to determine value. Now, don't, I have to, see, God does not tempt us with evil. But know this, every person on this earth, you will be tempted. You will be tested. Our faith, and I'm sure many of us has already been tested. But then that's this devil. Now, the devil, when the devil tempts us, he's tempting us, trying to get us to fall, trying to get us to join his club. And he's good at what he does. Now God does allow us to be tempted, tested. But in the New Testament, the word is parazo. It's the word, the parazo. It's the testing of persons. You see all in the Old Testament that God, he allowed Job to be tested. He allowed him to be tempted. Go back to the text. This is what he says. Being tempted. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. Notice, Jesus in the wilderness. He's in the wilderness for 40 days. Now, notice. I want you to understand. I believe all of this is by the purpose of God. That God, everything that Jesus went through is preparing him for the work that he's about to do, to confirming him with the people. And it seems like some people say, well, Gary, Jesus was the Son of God. He had an advantage. No, Jesus did not. Jesus came to this world 100% human. Born in a manger, he had very humble beginnings. And it almost seems like to me, when I read the Bible, that God was seemed like to me he was hard on Jesus than he is on us. Some of you that played sports, you know about the coach's son or the coach's daughter. You know, when the coach, it seems like the coach is harder on there. Hey, the coach has to be hard. If you have a son that you're coaching, you better just make sure you're not showing any favoritism to that boy. And often in an effort to not show favoritism, the coach is harder on the son than he is on the other players. And Jesus is on this earth 30 years. He hadn't taught. He was in the temple at the age of 12. He was listening and asking questions. He wasn't preaching to them. Yeah, you know I'm Jesus, and y'all don't know what you're talking about. God demanded humility of his son. And then he takes him after he's baptized. Notice this. This is after Jesus is baptized. And after he's baptized, he said, "This is my beloved." He made sure Jesus knew the son. I'm your father. I'm on your side. I'm proud of you. You my beloved son. He said it in the presence of everybody to hear him. But Jesus' ministry hadn't even started yet. He wanted Jesus to know that I'm with you, son. But Lord have mercy, you got to go through some things, son. And he sends him immediately from his baptism out in the wilderness. Notice, still in preparation, still preparing him, still mentoring him, still, and he's there for 40 days. Some of you read that text, you think that Jesus, that the devil was tempting him as the 40 days was going on. But you read it closely, you see, it was after the 40 days, after Jesus became hungry, that the devil started to tempt him. Yeah. devil could have tempted me on the second day. I've been eating some bread. Oh, the second day. And he tempted Jesus. He tested him three times. And I was thinking about this. I said, Lord, have mercy. As we study this biography, when you know that somebody has paid the price, that they are true soldiers, that they've passed the test. See, you know, it's like, see, you put more credibility. See, now, if Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, he says, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. We need to know that he has all the power. And he is proving by his actions, by his words, by his example, that he is worthy. And I want you to ask yourself about anybody else that you're listening to. Any other document that you are reading, any other person that you are putting your allegiance in, do they match with Jesus? Can they stand beside a man who has been tempted? The scripture says, now notice this. This is one occasion. Listen to this passage in 1 John. Excuse me, no, not 1 John. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have an high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted, the scripture says, in all things as we are, yet without. See, Jesus has been tempted in every way. Now, who can you say that about anybody else? In all things. That means, you know, in 1 John, the Bible tells us that in the world we have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That means that Jesus was tempted by these fleshly desires. And you know, some of us, we fall right there. And I'm not talking about just sex. Some of us, we can't get over food. Amen, somebody. We just we wake up food, go to sleep food, in our sleep food. We just gluttonous. We have no self-control. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you thought we were talking about sex. No, the lust of the flesh, these appetites that control us. We can't hardly sit in service without looking at our clock. Can't hardly how to keep up with nothing because we're thinking about these fleshly desires. Listen, Jesus understands. He knows the pull of this flesh, and this flesh got some pull on it, don't it? Scriptures say Jesus was tempted just like we were tempted. The lust of the eyes. The devil got him on after 40 days on all three of these. He took him up to a high mountain, look at all the kingdom. These can be yours. Just fall down and worship me. And some of us, we'll sell our soul to the devil over a pair of tennis shoes if we will. Amen, somebody. Some show us a diamond ring, a pearl, a car, a house, and we gone. And we have a Savior. Notice, the Scripture doesn't reveal all the times that Jesus, but it says that in every way, anything that you can relate to, Brother Gary, you just don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus was tempted by meat. The scripture said in all things. So he was tempted by male flesh and female flesh. Amen, somebody. Now, I'm going to get these women. You just don't understand, man. These women be all over me. They were all over Jesus. Amen, somebody. You'll find out even in the scriptures that many of his closest, his hardest working soldiers were women. And don't you think some of them women didn't try to hit on Amen. Yeah, that's good for me to know. See, I need to know that my confidence is in a Savior who won't hit on my wife, who was not an adulteress, who was not a woman. Now, I'm just talking plain. I want to make sure that I might struggle in something, but I need to know that my Savior, who I pray to, who I go to, who I'm serious about my soul. I need to make sure my allegiance, because you know, you put your faith in men, and some guys can stand in this pulpit and preach the best sermon and wear the best suits, but they are just as immoral. as they want to be. Tab churches and people and families. And we'd even sneak around with some of our wives in the Lord's church. Excuse me, some of our wives and husbands. We're talking about Jesus. And I don't know in the biography, I'm glad that the Lord included in his record, first of all, an example of Jesus standing strong. Lord, not only standing strong, he stood strong in a weak time. Because that's what God wants us to do. God, see, listen, because see, Jesus is the model. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ. You know, I just don't understand. I'm trying to be a good husband, and I'm trying to do everything. Look at Jesus. That's your example. You have no greater example. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's kind. He's tender. That's Jesus. Sister, don't you want a husband like Jesus? You heard that, brothers? Yeah, yeah. Wait a minute, brothers, don't you want a wife like, excuse me, not male Jesus, but a wife that'll treat you like Jesus? Don't you want that husband? I had to get that right now. Yeah, yeah. And notice this. Before Jesus ever taught a public lesson, before, according to the scriptures, before he performed his very first miracle, Jesus is proven. He's tested. And see, when you study the scriptures, you see that the Bible tells us that we're going to be tested. It even tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, listen, verse 5, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. See, some of us, you know, we read books and we think we are holy and we think we are spiritual. But the only way for you to know that you are in the faith, the faith, is to test yourself. It says to examine yourselves. And the only way you examine yourselves is when you compare your life to the Word of God. Amen. And be honest when you see what you maybe haven't seen. It's the only way you test yourself. And understand this also in this world that we live in, that the temptation is a part of us, part of life. If God allowed his son to be tempted, he going to allow us to be tempted. I love what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God, who is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure whatever you're going through. Don't fall. Don't say, oh, no, I just got to give in. Don't say, there's no way. We'll give you something. I just got to keep. I got to do what I'm doing. No, you do not have to. Amen, amen, somebody. Amen. First of all, Jesus showed us that we don't have to. And secondly, God has told us there is a way, but I tell you what, you got to look for the way. Amen, amen, somebody. Yeah, you have to look for the way. The purpose of testing as we examine the life of Christ is endurance. It's endurance. James said it this way, and knowing that the teaching or the testing of your faith produces endurance. And listen, he says, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be able to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So don't get depressed because you're going through a test. Some of us already can testify here and right now that have gone through some things or are going through some things. But guess what? If you're here right now, guess what? You are enduring. And see, now, so it is for our endurance. I know individuals who are in here. You know, Brother Charles Shevin, he went through dialysis, and others that are going through dialysis. And sometimes dialysis comes because of the way we take care. Sometimes it's hereditary. And we don't know all the reason why somebody had to go on dialysis. But when it comes, what do we do? Do you give up? Do you fall out? Brother Shelvin, he was used to go to dialysis 3 days a week, 3 days a week, just clockwork. Just you going to dialysis, going, and I'm thinking about boy, what if I had to go spend 6 hours in dialysis all these days? You got to go, some got to pick you weak, you tired, you're going through that, just part of your regular route. Somebody testifying to that this morning? And he got a call few months ago. We have a kidney. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. Listen. But we pray the prayer. Lord, please don't put that burden on me. Don't we pray that prayer? Now, who wants to go through something like that? But that's the burden some people have to bear. Amen. Notice this. Now he has a kidney. Who do you give glory to? Now we can go through the trial crying and whining. Yeah, I'm going through this. I gotta go down here. Lord, I'm just tired. I don't know why they put this on me. I'm sick of it. And you can go down there cursing everybody out and being evil with the nurses and everybody else. Or you can go down there and say, God, and they say, well, Chev, how you doing? God is good. He good. I'm gonna make it. Are you gonna be all right? I'm gonna be fine. How can you stay so positive? Because of God? Because of who I serve, yes. Because of who I am, yes. and you endure, yes. And now you have a story to tell. Notice this. See, testing is for endurance. Did Jesus endure? Yes. Yes, he did. It's for endurance. And see, testing is for witness. Notice this. So the testing is not for God, because God already knows. Amen. It's for us to endure, but testing is for witness. Witness to other people. So other people can see that you go, well, how you act when you're going through what you're going through. And your witness can be a witness for God if you witness the right way. Amen, somebody. Lord have mercy. And there's somebody else in here. You don't know it right now, but you're going to have to go to dialysis. Oh, brother, don't wish that. I'm not wishing it on nobody. I might be the one. You know, the first person I'm going to call if I go to the doctor and they tell me that I got to go through dialysis. You know, first person, I'm going to call on God. Lord, please, Jesus, help me get through this. Second person I'm going to call is Brother Charles Shelvin. Why are you going to call Brother Charles? I'm going to call somebody who went through it, who dealt with it, who was positive every day I saw him. I sure don't want to go to nobody crying and whining. Lord, I'm telling you, it hurt, Brother Gary. It's going to kill you, Brother Gary. No, I don't need to talk to you. Amen. Notice this. Testing is for power. It's for endurance. It's for witness. It is for power. Listen to this. With Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. And every test that came along, Jesus passed with fire flying colors. Listen to Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned to Galilee. Now, notice this. He left Jordan from baptism, took him in the wilderness. Now he's about to begin his ministry. He returns to Galilee. That's where his ministry, primarily his ministry, took place, in Galilee. And Jesus returned to Galilee, notice this, in the power of the Spirit. Now, you remember this. When he was baptized, the Holy Spirit landed. The Spirit, listen, so those of us, listen, the Spirit is a part of our existence on earth. Yes, yes. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, before you leave earth, you're not going to be with God in heaven when you leave earth. That's according to the scriptures, according to even Jesus' biography. Notice this. The Spirit came on him at baptism. The Spirit led him through the wilderness. The Spirit. And then it says, when Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Lord have mercy. See, 40 days, Jesus is hungry, he's weak, he's tired, oh, he's human,
You know, notice it. You tell, see, first, to have hunger, you, when you have some shown up hunger pains, some of us just lose our mind. We are different people. You, when we have food, we speak to people. And how you doing? How you doing? You get some of us hungry, and you act, we don't even like the same person. And so he's weak. Why are you saying that, Brother Gary? Because see, right now, we have some individuals that's in the middle of a test. Right smack dab in the middle. You're going through it. And I'm not talking about, self-imposed. I'm not talking about us going out committing a crime and having to pay the price for a crime. That's not what I'm talking about. Because there, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. But I'm talking about you in circumstance. Sometimes you marry somebody who you thought they were the person you thought, and now they're acting like, but you're trying to be obedient to the Lord.
Yes, yes.
You're trying to be Christ-like. I don't want to put anybody in a guilt trip. But you're trying to do what's, aren't you?
Yes.
Aren't we? Now don't fool yourself. Don't try to fool Brother Gary, the elders, and don't be devil. We got to be honest with ourselves. But you are trying to do what thus said the Lord. And this trial is on you. And you the scriptures say don't grow weary in. Notice it. Don't grow weary in evil doing. No. That ain't what the scripture said. Don't grow weary in well. See, well doing is always the will of God.
Yes.
Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, Matthew 7:21, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth, notice this, the will. See, it's God's will that married couples stay together. Isn't that God's will? And so God's will needs to be our will.
Yes.
Can I get a little bit deeper than that? Especially if you are here and two Christians are married. But I found out, I'm not so naive. I know that just because somebody say they're a Christian, they don't necessarily act like that. And I'm not talking about anybody this morning, but you give this tape to somebody who needed it. But we're weak right now. We're discouraged right now. I was thinking about, you know, when I was reading about Jesus, and he was in that wilderness. Notice, one of the things about it is he was by himself. Now the scripture said that the Holy Spirit was with him, but he's in the wilderness now. Some of it, we can't relate to that. But he's and a lot of times life can make it seem like we're by ourselves. Loneliness. I wonder on day 10, how did Jesus feel? On day 20 and 21, oh, the mercy. I don't know what day you on, what day we on. But look to Jesus. When you are weak, he's strong. When you're trying to, ready to give up, and the human side of you is speaking, and you just want to do something, you want to take matters in your own hand, you want to get the boss man, you want to lie, I want to have fun too. And you want to just do things your way. And he says, but when Jesus got to that point and he answered God and he told the devil, Satan, get thee behind me. Sometimes, you know, I don't do this often, and I try not to do it when nobody is around. But I do every now and then. I have some conversations with myself, the Lord, And one phrase I use often is get thee behind me. I do. I'm telling you, there have been some moments that I wanted to let it go. You know what I'm talking about? See, listen, when somebody get on your nerves, when somebody does something and you know they're wrong. But listen to this. But when we look at the example, this is why we ought to give all our allegiance to Jesus Christ. Because he endured. Notice this. We saw it. We read about it. We testify to it. Jesus did it. And the utmost example and the whole, as I study, and I have to stop soon. But when you study the biography of Jesus and you see all the things that were done in public to Jesus, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount and multitudes heard him, all of his glory days. And see, we're reading now, if the Lord says the same, with his popularity when everybody knew him and everybody saw him. But then you see him in weakness. And here he enters his ministry, the beginning of his ministry, in the power of the Spirit. Lord, give us some patience in life. What are you saying, Brother Gary? See, when you're going through a trial, see, the trial, the end of your trial may be the beginning of your ministry. See, I'm 58 now. I got to stop. I have about 35 more points. I do. I'm serious. I just got to. So I'm just stopping at the right. But listen, I'm 58 years old right now. And sometimes I have a difficult time selecting what I'm going to preach about. But as I was trying to develop this particular series, I said, I'm in church. I already heard about Jesus. And I don't want to bore everybody. And I need to preach some topical lessons that the church can relate to. But every time I said that, every time I went searching for a different topic, a different passage, a different scripture, they all led me back to Jesus. No, see, what are you saying, Brother Gary? See, some of us want Brother Gary, I want you to preach a lesson on how to be successful in life, or how to be a better parent, how to be. No, it says, if you're a husband, the Bible says, love husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church, gave himself to it. If you're a wife, it says for us to subject ourselves to our husband as unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When you're working on your job, you work on your job not as unto man, but as unto Christ Jesus. Everything in life. See, that's why we need to become experts and masters on Jesus Christ. He'll teach you about. See, and a lot of us, we see. Some of us. Let me. Some. And I'm saying some of us. Some of us just too weak. We trip up over everything. We got to stop fighting. What do you mean, Brigitte? Stop giving up. God, we're stronger than we think. I'm 58 now. And many of you know I grew up at this church. A little boy, I sit in Bible class, came with my parents, loved by, got baptized at a very early age. I pretty much kind of led a pretty sheltered life my childhood. Got off into college, went to college, on a football scholarship and got exposed to the world. I got away from Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Amen. And you know what? One thing I learned about, you see the son, how God treated his son. God didn't baby Jesus. But he took him through training, preparation, then he sent him to the wilderness. And wilderness, church, is the world. And in the world, we're going to be tested. It's going to happen to you. You can't hide your child. You can't protect your child from everything. It won't be the perfect environment. And see, then, I went to college, got exposed to the world. I did okay for a minute. But my eyes started seeing things. My flesh, he started talking to me. Can I just be totally honest? I flunked a few tests. Oh, no, not you, Brother Gary. Not Bissell and Odell, son. Ooh, if you only knew. Brother Gary, tell us something you don't need to know. You can't. I'm like Jack Nicholson. You can't handle the truth. Amen. Amen. And I say that because, you, when you look at Jesus and I try to say, Lord, I feel so inadequate. Anybody feel like you're just not worthy? Can I tell you some truth? You're not worthy. When we compare our life to Christ's life. Notice this. That's why he is worthy. He's worthy of our dedication, of our learning, that we might learn. He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, I'll give you rest. And it's only him that we look to. Even when you make mistakes, in order to get it right, you got to look at the perfect example and stop fooling yourself. Yes. Amen, somebody. Amen. And so I say that now. Why do you say that, Brother Gary? Because, see, I did. I went through college. I tripped and I fell. And I thank the Lord for his mercy. I thank the Lord for it. You know what? I'm telling you, I could have easily have been in jail. I could easily have children all out of wedlock, all over the place. See, that makes life harder, don't it? Amen. So I could have so many things that I think about. I said, Lord, woo, Lord have mercy. What you mean, Brother Gary? You know what I mean. I don't have to. Some of you know. Some of you are. Notice it. But see, sometimes we don't recognize how good. And only by the grace of God, only by God's grace, that we are all here right now. So that's why, you know, we say, you hear preachers say, God is good. And all the time. But he is. He's merciful. And some of us just need to recognize. What we need to do is put Jesus in his right place. The Bible says, there is no other name given among men whereby we must see. Jesus is where our hope is, because Jesus led the perfect example and he died for our sins. But see, I haven't even gotten to his death. But when he died for our sins, God put him in a place. Because Jesus passed all of these tests, every test. He says, Jesus, now he's going to lift Jesus up. He's been lifted up. But Jesus is coming back again one day. And the scripture said, every knee. Now I know there's speculation, there's philosophy, there's other teaching, but this is what God says now. That's why some of these facts I'm trying to confirm, this is not fantasy. Jesus did really come to this earth.
He was really born in Bethlehem. He lived in Nazareth. His parents took him to Egypt, these real places. Pilate did exist. Herod exists. Caiaphas, Annas, the prophets, they all exist. They are real people. Jesus really did die on the cross. Notice this, for all of our sins. And God stayed. He stopped. He did nothing. He allowed it to happen. Because there's going to come a time that God is not going to give an excuse to nobody. And if you, and Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me, Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I'll confess before my Father, which is in heaven. This is real. But he says, if you deny me before men, everything Jesus went through, it was for a reason. It was for our salvation. And I'm trying to lift Jesus up so we will honor him. We will believe him. We'll know his reality. Jesus did live. He is merciful. God is good. But you better get yourself in line before you leave this earth. So I thank God at the age of 58, I surely am not perfect. Lord, I got some more things I need to work on, but I know who I believe in. And so I invite you, as we continue to study about Jesus, to fall in love with him. To respect Jesus in the highest way. To honor him. To obey his teaching. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're here today and you haven't repented of the sins that you have in your life, he says, I tell your neighbor, except unless you repent, you shall also likewise. This is an invitation. You shall also likewise perish. If you're here today and you haven't confessed the sweetest name that you could ever say with your mouth, and that is the name, do we sing a song? Jesus, 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 there's something about that name, Master, Savior. It's the name of Jesus. And I hope you confess that name. If you're here today and you haven't been baptized in water for the forgiveness of all your sins, for the forgiveness of all your sins, it's the way we relate. It's the way we coincide. It's the way Jesus was buried. He's buried in a tomb. We raised to walk in newness of life. Anybody in here need to be baptized today? You're baptized into Jesus Christ. It's where we put on Jesus Christ. And we become a member of the church that Jesus died for, and the church that wears. See, some of us, the name don't, excuse me? Do you understand? It's the name of Jesus. It's not a mountain. It's not a man. It's not a building. It's not a phrase. It's Jesus. Anybody who need to be baptized into Jesus Christ? Then you need to come and be baptized even this day. If you want the church to pray for you, we'll pray for you. If you want to get something right, get it right. Even now as we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his graces? Oh, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Yes, are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood
of the Lamb,
of the Lamb,
are your garments spotless?
Yes, are they white
as snow?
Are you washed in the blood
of the Lamb? And are you walking daily by the Savior's side?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Do you rest each moment in the crucified?
Are you washed in the
blood of the Lamb?
When are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?
And are your garments spotless? Are they white? As though are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robe be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Well,
are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?
And
are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
You can still come, even as we sit, you can still come.
Flowing for the soul, unclean, oh, be washed, blood of the Lamb. Oh, and are you washed?
Be in the blood.
Be in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. And all your garments, are they white as snow? When are you washed the blood of the Lamb? Oh, and are you washed in the blood, in the soul? And are your garments spotless?